All right, welcome back into Hour 2 of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here at 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 2 o'clock, Greg Wyshynski will join us from ESPN.com, the latest on the Nashville Predators. But first, every Friday at 1 o'clock, it's bringing our good man, forever Titan wide receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, good afternoon, man. Are you prepared for the snow and ice?
Man, I sure did. I went and got my milk and bread, man, so I can make some French toast.
Absolutely, buddy.
So you drink milk not just when snow comes?
No. Actually, I drink a lot of Coca-Cola, man, so I'm ready to go. I'm stocked up, excited. I'm going to play in the snow. And the good thing about it is, man, I get to be shacked up with the most beautiful woman in the world, my wife. So I'm excited, man.
There you go. Brownie points are always good for you. Chris, on Wednesday, they made it official. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Titans. Yeah. I love it. What say you?
Yeah, I absolutely love it, too, because the thing about it is we always talk about culture, you know, building a good culture in the locker room and all that, and we hear that all the time. Like, what does that mean? It's about guys not just buying in, they're trusting in. And when you got a coach that comes in that gets a whole bunch of guys that trust in, you can go win a championship. So I love it. I love his attitude. I love the tenacity that he brings. Yes, he's a defensive mind coach, but at the end of the day, he's going to bring in an OC that's an offensive mind coach. So I think it's a great hire. I think the sky's the limit, but it all depends on can everybody trust in.
Who, exactly, right? So he's going to consider about the defense. I like the fact, though, he's going to hand over the offense.
Yes.
To somebody else, and a coordinator, and a quarterback. I love this because the part of the pitch the other night was about his plan for Cam Ward. That was part of Robert Saleh's. I love this, Chris. He's prepared for Cam Ward. He knows he's the future, and he also knows that Amy Adams Strunk loves Cam Ward. Good job, Robert Saleh.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You said the key word, plan. You know, because the last time we went through this whole scenario, everybody said they had a plan, but nobody executed the plan. So I think what won Amy Adams Strunk over is he's not just talking about the plan. He's talking about how he's going to execute the plan. So if you have a guy that's direct, a guy that's his track record is not just talk, but he actually does it, that makes a difference. Because I think the last 5 and 6 years, we kept hearing talk. We kept hearing talk about making a plan and guys buying in and great locker room, all this great stuff. But actually, we're going to start seeing it when you bring a Saleh in here. So I think it's a great idea.
Chris Sanders is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chris, when it comes to Robert Saleh as the head coach, how do you see him helping Cam Ward develop as a mature quarterback and being a perennial winner in this league when it comes to locker room and just being a team player?
First of all, number one, you want to have a relationship with him. I know we talk about, and it sounds cliche, but you need to have a relationship with your quarterback. And then you got to find the right guy to teach him the right ways to develop into a great quarterback. Because at the end of the day, if you don't get somebody in here that's going to teach him the proper technique, teach him to understand the front, teach him the secondary, what they're doing in the secondary, teach him all those things and start develop, then we're just having a coach. So I think it's the key is bringing somebody in here and teaching them step by step, not talking about step by step, but teaching them the steps, teaching them the progress, teaching them how to lead, teaching them all these things that you need as a quarterback. So I think that those are some of the ways it can help.
I could tell you were listening to the show earlier. We were playing New Kids on the Block step by step. Look at you, Chris. He's just
listening.
I swear.
No, I listen to Bobby Brown every little step I take. Come on, man.
There you go. Continuing on with just the offensive side of the ball, Joe and I were speaking earlier about Juwan Jennings. He'll be a free agent this upcoming offseason in 2026 now that they're out of the playoffs. His projected, I guess, model would be 3 years, $60 million. I don't know if the Titans would be interested in something like that. But what would you say would be a good price tag for you to bring in a veteran wide receiver like a Juwan Jennings?
I don't know the price tag, but you still need a bona fide number one. And I respect DK and I respect Alec Ayumanner. Those guys are good, solid players. But if I'm a defensive coordinator, those guys don't scare me. Yeah, they'll make some plays here and there. You want a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. You want a guy that's going to bring some fear. So when you talk about Jennings, I absolutely love what he brings to the table. I love how he catches the football. I love how he blocks. I love how on every play you expect him to be ferocious. So you bring a guy in here to where you got the head coach Saleh. They both they both want to fight you. They both want to get it done. And you bring a receiver in like that, I think it's a recipe for the Tennessee Titans. Yes, I love DK. Yes, I love IU Manor. So don't get me wrong. I love those guys. But you have to bring in a guy that's going to put fear in a defense coordinator. And he can be one of those guys.
You know, somebody that's already on staff, Bones Fossil, he already puts the fear into all the special teams coaches across the league. What do you say about that being retained onto the staff?
I absolutely love it, because here's the thing. We call it special teams because you have to be special. Look at DK. DK did some great things this year of being one of the, you know, the best rookies to ever come in as a returner. So it just shows you that you got Fossil that takes pride in special teams. He takes pride in kickoff return. He takes pride in punt return. He takes pride in all that. So when you have a coach that is so prideful in being great, that's why the special teams are so great. Why? Because you have a great coach, and I think it's phenomenal by them keeping him here.
I love it. Chris, you ready for your song?
Yes, let's go, Big Dog.
Let's go, man.
That's Tony, man.
You got it, baby.
Uh-oh.
We're going to play this for the next hour and just have you and get a video of you dancing.
Champ, I can dance, man. I got mad skills, man.
keep it going. That's for Chris Sanders.
I appreciate it, man. I remember the words, though.
That's all right. We remember the beat, though. You got the band correct. That's all that matters.
Champ Tony, that's one of my favorite groups. Man, come on, man.
That's right. There you go. As we look, you know, the solid thing was great. We were all on board for that. And now, you know, Matt Nagy, you know, we were like, oh, he's going to get the job. Getting Borgonzi, your friends. Boom, boom, out of here. Brian Daboll has been mentioned. There's reports out there. If he doesn't get the Buffalo job, he'd like to come here and work with Cam. I mean, yeah. I think, Chris, and you know this better than us,
sure.
I mean, they got to get this correct,
yep.
Right?
Whoa. You have to get it correct, because the thing about it is you may get a good head coach, but if you don't have a good OC, we're back where we started before. And the one guy that I love that we're kind of talking about a little bit, I love Arthur Smith. And we always talk about offensive coordinator or a head coach, you know, being a connector of men or building men. We say that because it sounds so cliche. What the heck does that mean? That means getting everybody on the same page and believe in the scheme, believe in the offense, believe in the technique. That's what it means to be a builder of men. So I think if you bring like an Arthur Smith or bring somebody like that that's been in the organization, that understands how it's ran, that understands the expectation, I think it can be a recipe for success. So that's why I love Arthur Smith before I like the ball.
I'm with you. I love Art Smith. I don't know if Art wants to take a step back, though.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
But I don't think it's really I understand that you were a head coach before, but it's not a step back because it's still your fingerprint on the offense. And I think that if you have your fingerprints on the offense, then you can guide it in a direction to where you want it to be. Yes, you know, Robert Saleh is going to be the head coach, but still if you're the offensive coordinator, you're actually still a head coach, but your fingerprint is on the offense. So if he looks at it like that, to where to come in and change his whole offense around, I think it can be a recipe for success.
Oh, I agree with that. And also, you know, even for a year, if he comes in, he can turn Cam around,
yes, absolutely,
and do some great things. Be like, look what Art Smith did with Cam Ward. I mean, he got a quarterback, yeah, and all that. So there's some positives there.
It is, but see, you want a coach that has a relationship with his players. And if you look at Arthur Smith, you know, before he left, one guy that really loved it was Denard. What was it? The tight end. What's the tight end's name? Denard.
Jonnu Smith was good.
No, not John. Jonnu Smith was good. The one before that.
Delaney Walker.
Thank you. Delaney Walker absolutely loved Arthur Smith. So if you hear guys like that that play at the highest level that love their coach, that's what you want. So bringing Arthur Smith in here, and they love their coach and the players' coach, I think it can be really, 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 really good for this organization, man.
What do you remember of the days leading up to the AFC Championship game in Jacksonville?
God.
Because, you know, we got the championship games this weekend, and, you know, you guys had to go to Jacksonville. You're here. You're on the cusp of something great. What was going through your mind?
I was nervous at first. At first, at the beginning of the week, I was a little nervous because I'm like, okay, can we go down there and beat these guys again? But this is when I knew we were going to win, is Eddie George comes screaming in the meeting room, and he slams the door, and he says, you know what they just did? They just got a video of them already going to the Super Bowl and laughing and having their bags packed. And when Eddie George ran in the room, I said, uh-oh, we won. So the practice during the week was like, hey, we're going down there, and we're going to go down there and beat the brakes off the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I was nervous the first day, but when we went down there, I knew we were going to win. Why? Because they made that crazy video in Jacksonville.
Oh, what was why?
Why? You just gave us some ammunition. You got, you know, Eddie George is a passionate dude now. So when he comes in here and he slams the door and he's screaming and yelling, he said, they already made a video of us and saying they're going to beat us. They got their bags packed. And it went from joking in the locker room to straight up, we about to go down there and beat the brakes on them. So now when we went down there and they jumped up 7-0, there was no panic. We went down there and we said, you know what, this game is ours. And after they scored that first touchdown, we knew the game was ours.
Chris Sanders is on the line with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Chris, from your playing days with the Titans up to now looking at this team, what are some similarities you're seeing in the trajectory of this team?
I like the defense. I mean, if you look at, you know, before we went to the Super Bowl, we had some key pieces. We had Baron Werther, we had Joe Bowden, we had a secondary that was good, like Samari Roland, all these guys. I just think that with this defense now, you have one guy, Jeffrey Simmons, and Sweat can be that guy also. Those are some of the guys that you can use the pillars of your defense. And what you start to do is you start adding those pieces. Just like in 1999, when we drafted us, when we got Samari Roland, we got Javon Curse, and we added to the veteran guys that we had, that's when we became great. So now you got the Tennessee Titans in 2026 to where you got Jeffrey Simmons, you got Sweat, you got some guys that you can build your team around. Just start adding some pieces, not just pieces, but impact players to make your defense better. So that's a similarity of the team, just getting your defense better and now getting some playmakers on offense.
Expanding on that, you talk about drafting and grabbing playmakers on this team. I don't know if you watched the national championship game or not, but this entire college football playoff, Reuben Bain has kind of taken a lot of people by storm with the way he plays. And obviously now that Robert Saleh is the head coach, a defensive-minded head coach, you wonder if the puzzle pieces line up to a possible top four pick there. What do you think?
Yeah, but see, I agree with you 100%. We always talk about defense wins championship, and just imagine Bain, just imagine Jeffrey Simmons and Sweat. I mean, that is crazy.
It's a lethal front.
It's a lethal front, but then after that, then now you got to get a secondary that can just cover for just 2 seconds, and you'll be okay. So, you know, you get a front like that and put pressure on a quarterback and they start throwing interceptions, you get turnover, and you get an offense that can score some points. Man, I'm telling you, you can turn this whole organization around by just your defense getting better.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this defense. When you can have a front that just is so explosive and disrupts that offensive line, I think you can kind of get away with a above par secondary. Yep. You know, I think that's something that we're seeing right now with New England in a roundabout way. Sure, their secondary has been pretty decent this playoffs, but yet their front is what's really getting the disruption on that offensive line.
Absolutely. Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Eagles.
I believe it's the Eagles.
And you know why, the reason why they won? Because their defensive front was nasty. Their defensive front was straight up nasty. So that's what a lot of defenses are trying to mimic. Get your front four, your front three to put pressure on the quarterback. You make mistakes and you have a quarterback that just manages the game like Hurt and makes some plays on your receivers. Uh-oh, now you can do something great, man. That's how you got to mimic those guys.
You are. Before I let you go, your thoughts about Charlie Becker, I mean, the catches he made in the championship game. You went against him. You're an NBA. He's at Father Ryan. And he made some money the other night on this run because the back shoulder catch, he doesn't drop a pass.
Yeah, but here's the beautiful part of the whole thing is, when he first got in there, do you know at the beginning of the season, nobody knew who he was?
That's right.
And a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm going to transfer. I'm not the guy. I got to get in the portal, all that crazy stuff. But here's what he did. He said, you know what? I'm going to wait my turn. So how am I going to wait my turn? I'm going to come to practice every day and work. I'm going to come to practice and listen to my coach. I'm going to come to practice and wait until my turn. Then all of a sudden a guy gets hurt. He gets inserted into there. Now he's a talk of the town. So it just teaches guys to trust the process because great things are around the corner.
Amen, brother. Right?
That's
it.
Come on, man.
You get, like Rocky said, we get knocked down, but can you get back up?
You have two choices, to get bitter, get better, lay down or get up. And that's what life is all about. He got up. And even when we played him, when he was at Father Ryan, man, he was killing us. But the thing that I love about this kid is he trusts the process, and now he's won a national championship.
He has. Did you see the quarterback in the portal that's now on his seventh school? I forget his name. T.J. Finley.
Yeah.
His seventh school. Seven.
Why?
Right? I mean,
you're never going to develop. You're never going to develop because when it gets hard, then you run.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to do that. And I'm glad that when I got to Ohio State, I'm not, you know, trying to pull on the show. But when I went to Ohio State, I set out basically my first two years. But then all of a sudden I get to my senior year, I catch 8 touchdowns, I get drafted third round, and then I go to Super Bowl in 1999. Trust the process.
Look at you. Oh, man. Brother, stay safe. We love you. If you need anything, reach out to us.
All right. Good, man. Love y'all so much. Appreciate
all right.
You.
Chris Sanders, man, all day. All day, listen to that guy.
Sledding with him at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Been through the fire.
Yeah.
He's got it. But he makes good. The Charlie Becker, I mean, look.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, oh, I want to get out of I'm going to transfer and this. Hunker down. Work your butt off, man. That's how it's always been done. But the 4 or 5 schools, what's Finley doing?
He's just getting a good education, Joe. That's what he's doing.
What's he going to do when he gets out in the real world? Hey, you didn't get your promotion. I'm going to quit. Right? You set up a pattern for yourself that when it gets hard, you leave.
Correct. It is a soft mentality. You're not preparing yourself for the real world. And that's the thing. A lot of people just they forget about that.
I've been up for a bunch of jobs I didn't get, right? I didn't pout. I just worked harder. Yep. What did Michael Jordan, he talked about his mom when he got cut from junior high. And he went home and he said, I got cut. And his mom said, work harder. Mm-hmm. Didn't go down and yell at the coach. Didn't go down and say, my son didn't get a raw. His mom was like, she's got to work harder. I'm like, God bless that lady. God, I mean, moms are brutally honest, right? Often far too more than fathers are. But work harder.
I mean, that's the precedent. If you don't work hard, you're not going to get the reward.
You're not. Ain't going to happen. All right. Thank you, Chris. Come back. Our question today is, what's the all-time favorite arcade video game? What is the best all-time arcade video game? 615-737-1025. We got a few days to sit at the house and ponder things, and this is one of the things we're going to ponder. We want to hear from you guys. 615-737-1025. What is the all-time best arcade video game? We have one and two are very close together in this poll, but we want to hear from you guys. That's next. Listen to the Chase and Big Joe show right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.